and then through you by the power of His Spirit. And I don't want you to ever sell yourself short. There'd have been a time in my life that I would have said as a man, I don't need anybody else. I can get by. I'm okay. I want to tell you, when I say that, I'm a weak man. When I understand I need others, that's when strength comes. That's when we begin to understand the power of the way that God purposed and planned for us to be together. And one will put 1,000 to flight, two put 10,000 to flight. That's 10 times the power when two people get together. And I don't know anybody harder to get together than for us as men to understand that's strength, that's not weakness, to say we need one another. Amen? Let's be men of God and grow together. And men, I'm so looking forward, but I want to ask you, please get signed up for our next meeting. And that's coming up quickly now. So if you can sign up at the information booth out here or on the guest card, the guests in your bulletin where it puts a place there, if you're a guest to fill out, fill that, but mark it man of God. Or go online and sign up. You can do that. But we are prepared meals we're bringing in from Hy-Vee. We really need for you to sign up and then show up so that we can learn together and grow in the grace of God. This meeting is going to be here at the Lamb's Door. But I really want to ask you, men, please get signed up so we can make plans. And let's just purpose. Let's make this a priority of being able to be together. It does something to me when I see you there. It just encourages my heart. Not because we're just coming together in a crowd, but an understanding that we're moving together because God's calling us to do something that makes a difference. And we need one another to accomplish that. And the Holy Spirit's going to bring that about. I look forward to our May meeting. We're going to have Leslie Kegel with us from Sri Lanka. Now, we had Ted with us for this time, and Ted is a world changer. I've heard a lot of speakers who were world-class speakers, but he's a world changer. The heart of Cambodia is coming to Christ, over 500,000, and now they just can't keep count that have come to Christ through that ministry, and those 3,000 or 4,000 orphans, and there's been about 7,000 or 8,000 go through the orphanages there, that tremendous work that's taken place in the last 10 years. So I want to encourage you. We're a part of sharing God's heart in so many areas of the world, and when Leslie Kegel comes, you'll see a man who's a world changer there, a man who's willing to stand. They've tried to kill him several times. They beat him up, but I'll tell you, he just keeps preaching the gospel and being faithful. And your heart will be so moved as he comes to be with us. And he'll be with us for our Saturday morning men's meeting and then over with Pastor Wayne on Saturday night and then with us on Sunday. So we're looking forward to that. So just set your heart. And I want you to be determined in your heart. God has you here under assignment. He has a plan and purpose for your life. And it's not just to get by, but it's to be able to get on with what God desires in our life. So today I want to talk to you about being able to live in the courageous zone. We all like to find the comfort zone in life, but I want you to find the courageous zone and be able to live that life and that love. I want to encourage you, too. Next Sunday, we have water baptism. If you've not been baptized since you believed, I want to encourage you about that. Not as some kind of church doctrine or that's how you join the church. It's a matter of an understanding that we follow the footsteps of our Lord. And He's the one that said, you allow it to be. And He sets the example. He's the one that was immersed in water. And He came straightway up out of the water, and He heard these wonderful words. You're my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. I want you to be able to hear that, know that. I want you to be able to point to a place and say, we buried the old man, and we've resurrected the new one. That's what baptism's all about. It's like parting the Red Sea, and the people of God went across. But when the enemy tried to pursue, that closed on them and destroyed them. So please, if you've not signed up and you would like to do that, please sign up today and let us know or call into the church during the week so we can plan for that. And God will just bless in a very special way. It's always a joy to be with you as a church family. You know, I always wish that I could just go around and talk to every one of you and ask you how you're doing, what's happening, and pray with you and that. But it's kind of a high and a hug on Sunday. But I'm thankful for the Word of God that speaks to our heart, and ongoingly that will resonate. And that's what I depend on. I understand I make sound when I stand here and speak to you, but it's the Holy Spirit that will make sense out of that sound. Now, I'll do the best I can, but I understand what the Apostle Paul meant when he said about the foolishness of preaching. If we're only preaching, if that's all we're doing, there's no reaching, then it's foolishness. But to understand the reaching power of the Spirit of God, the one that inspired this word, He can reach forth and touch our hearts. That's what I want you to expect. I want you to expect the Spirit of God to speak to you beyond anything that I can say. I pray that I can spark a little something in your heart. And I pray the Holy Spirit will give you an ear to hear what He has to say, but also the courage to obey what He has to say. I believe God often speaks, but we lack the courage to respond to what He said. So we're going to talk about that today in the book of Joshua. They're entering into a new time. I believe in my heart, we as a nation, our world is entering into a new season of time. And you can listen to all the sad and bad news that's going on in the world, or you can come to the good news of the gospel and get things straight. Now, it's good to be informed about what's going on in the world, but you need to understand God's got everything under control, and where he looks to make a change is in the church. I'm not talking denomination or organization, but the reality of a relationship with a living God. He created it all. It's all under his control, and all the mess that you see is what man has done. But he wants to move, and he loves mankind. He wants every person to come to that salvation. But we see as we move near the end of time what God wants to do within the people that come and understand what a true church is. When he said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's every born-again believer that knows and loves Jesus. But I want you to understand from the book of Joshua, as they move into a new time, in Joshua chapter 1, if you'll follow along there with me, I want to read some words that I believe are important for the body of Christ today that speaks where we're at. And I believe he speaks to all of us about the courage that he wants to give us. He says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people you'll divide an inheritance, the land, which I swear unto your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses thy servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or the left, and whatsoever you do, or wherever you go, and the law will not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, according to all that is written therein. For then thou wilt make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Have not I commanded you to be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee. That's good news. Amen. If we remember that, we're going to be all right. When we get in trouble, it's because we forget who he is, and we soon forget who we are then. Please understand, when he talks about being strong, he starts out talking about good courage. Then he says strong and very courageous. But he says to be courageous to do what he said in his word. The greatest thing you'll ever find that you need courage to do is what God says to you in your heart. The word coming alive in your own life, of how it becomes incarnate, the word becoming flesh in you. I shared with you recently about light beyond sight, of being able to see just beyond circumstances that are happening in your life. So many times we get so captured by circumstances that though we hear what God has to say, we can't get beyond the circumstances and the storms of life to even begin to respond. We're just trying to survive, and God would like to revive us. But when we go through these times, the Holy Spirit wants us to be able to know that the biggest hindrance to real, true, God-given vision is sight, just what we see. And so God wants to be able to help us to be able to see through things and understand what he's doing. When we get to that point, and I shared with you, I said, there's more to me than what you see. Would you look at the person next to you and say that? There's more to me than what you see. Now, would you look at them and say, I'm sure glad. Well, isn't that true for all of us? I'm glad this is not all of it. Matter of fact, I'm asking them to please work on those cameras. I'm in the video. I'm looking old in there. And can't you do a little something with that? But you know, the understanding, if we really knew about the inner man, you know, the reason you never feel like you're going to die is because you're not. The outer man perishes, but the inner man gets stronger every day. You're closer to heaven. You're getting better today than you were yesterday because you're one day closer to heaven. But the reality is you're under assignment here, and God wants to do something through you, but you have to have the courage to respond to it, not just to hear what he has to say, but the courage to obey that. You see, reasoning will show us what we are, but revelation will show us what we can become. That's what we need. I'm thankful for this book that tells me how to begin a walk with the Lord, that if I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth, I'll be saved. That's how I begin my walk. But then I have to grow by grace and understand how that works. But I'm also thankful by revelation that even in the beginning, I can see the end. I can see what God desires because I've read the end of the book of Revelation, the understanding of not only being able to see Christ as the Lamb of God, dying as for the sins of the world, dying for my sin, but now he's the Lion of Judah. And I'm able to see how all this is going to end. It's good to know that we win in the end. Amen? That makes this book so worth reading, of an understanding that all the circumstances and storms we go through in life, It's all going to work out well if we just have the courage to obey what God has to say. And that's the real challenge for the church today, to be able to man up to what God has to say and to get a right perspective according to the Word. You know, so many times our problems, the thing about our problems, and we can't think clearly about our problems because of our perspective. Sometimes our perspective about a problem is greater than the problem. How we see it. How many times have we looked at something and said, oh, I can't do that. I just don't know how to do that. And we're just tired, wore out. If you think you can't and you believe you can't, you can't. But if you allow there to be something creative in your heart, you'll find out you can do things you never thought you could do. It's your perspective on things. The understanding of how you see the Word of God. Can it work in me? And sometimes we get an attitude that doesn't allow the right perspective. You see, clear vision gives you a perspective and you can handle almost anything. But if you get a wrong perspective, almost anything can handle you. It doesn't take much at all. But God so wants to work in your heart. And the Apostle Paul gets a clear perspective in 2 Corinthians 4:18 when he says this, we look not at the things that are seen, but the things which are not seen. For what we see is temporary, but what we don't see is eternal. He says these words. I remember standing at the site of the Colosseum when he said these words. I was doing a teaching there with 83 people. And he says, our light affliction worked for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. When we understand his light afflictions and what he's talking about, he'd been beaten up, thrown out on the dump, left for dead. God raised him up, sent him back into town and he preached. He'd been shipwrecked. He'd gone through all kinds of things. But he said, those things are just light afflictions compared to what I see with my eternal perspective. Those are not a big deal. All those things will pass, but what I see will last. And we need to get that clear in our heart and understand that. We have to go through the battles and through the storms, but if we have the right perspective, they will strengthen us instead of weaken us. And I pray God can make that real in our hearts, that we can wait on the Lord and hear what he has to say. God will never waste a wait. He will always work while you're waiting. And I want to promise you, what he works in the time that you're waiting is going to be better for you than anything you could do. Amen? They that wait upon the Lord shall be renewed in strength. Paul's sitting in prison, and he has great vision. He says, you think on the things that are just and pure and lovely. There wasn't any of that around him, but it was still in him. He had a right perspective because he allowed the Spirit to speak to his heart. It wasn't some kind of hype. It was a living hope that he had in Jesus Christ. When you have sight beyond the light of just what you can see here now in the temporal, that's the thing the devil fears. That's the lights he wants to punch out in your life. So you can't see beyond the natural and understand that as a natural man, that now you've come to Christ, there's supernatural power that's available in you and through you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That sounds nice to say, but I want to tell you what, it's even better when you come to those points that you're broken and you can't get the pieces together, or you have loved ones and your love is limited. Human love is, but you can come to a love that knows no limits, and that's the power of the living God, and he begins to intervene and his promises are fulfilled. We have to come to that point that we set our mind on the things that will last, that we understand, to be able to see the pure, the just, the lovely, and don't make any excuses. Excuses become strongholds in our mind. We need to get past all the excuses and begin to see the excuses that we make need to be removed and just seen as an opportunity of what we can do. All those things that try to trip us up gives us an opportunity to be able to see what God can do even though we think we can't. Opportunities to give us a new beginning. That's what we need. If you've got an excuse, then you've got an opportunity for a new beginning. Amen? Please just think about that sometime. Well, I can't do that. This is the reason I can't do this and this and this. Start looking at that as an opportunity, and all of a sudden it changes, and you begin to see what God can do. You see, vision lets you see the end at the beginning, and it'll give you the courage to walk through whatever you need to do. And without vision, though, you will end up in life doing everything but accomplishing nothing. How many of you have ever had those days where you feel like you've done a whole lot of stuff, but you wondered what you did? How many of you have ever had a week like that, a month like that? Or how many of you in life almost feel like, you know what, I can't get a handle on this. I just can't seem to get a grip on life. Get a grip on grace. Let that grip your life. God will do something precious in you. See, most people go around with a loaded life aimed at nothing, and that's exactly what they hit. There's just that area where we're doing things, but we're really not accomplishing anything. People who succeed in life are people that get knocked down but keep getting up till what knocks them down quits coming. There's an understanding about you never give up to anybody but God. Allow Him to be real in your life. Get the clear vision of what He wants to do. You see, vision becomes your passion. I feel a passion in my person about what God's calling for the men in this church like never before. It's something God just poured in my heart of a passion to press. And that's why, men, I come to you, and I've kidded around a little bit to say I wish I was a sumo wrestler and I could get you against the wall and persuade you to come. But that wouldn't last because you'd outrun me. And and you wouldn't be persuaded when I wasn't there. I want to tell you, though, there's something about what the Holy Spirit's wanting to do today. And there's a passion that I believe as God puts it in my heart, He imparts that to your heart. And we understand together what God wants to do. We may not have it all figured out with our head, but we understand in our heart. God's calling us together for what He desires to do, and we need to respond to that, and we'll figure it out as we go. Faith always requires that we step out and move on with what God has to say. And as we obey that, then He begins to fill in the details. You see, people who succeed in life are people that just continually press in to see what God will do. The Apostle Paul said this, "One thing I do, forgetting the things that are in the past, I press toward the mark of my high calling in Christ Jesus." You come to that point, you're not just standing there hoping something will happen. You're pressing in. You're pressing in. And the power of the Spirit will help you. You'll be able to see how His grace will help you to get the courage that you need. And that your passion will become the thing that will make you tougher than your trials. That you'll be able to see how there's real power that comes because you're going to need it. There's no resistance if you're not moving. And you begin to move. I remember Dr. Roy Hicks Jr. saying, "You know what the greatest sign is of being filled with the Spirit of God and just letting it overflow?" And I was thinking of all kinds of things. I was thinking of gifts of the Spirit, speaking in the Spirit, all kinds of things. And he said, "It's trouble." Because every time you try to move and you allow the Spirit of God to flow, and you look at the book of Acts, you'll see a move of the Holy Spirit. You'll see human spirits responding. But in the midst of that, you'll see hellish spirits try to stop that. But I want to tell you, we can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You know, it's sad to be dissatisfied as a Christian and just get by and never realize what God wants. Please know this. Man is only satisfied when God is glorified. Man, if we're not satisfied in life because we haven't understood how to glorify God. What do you mean glorify God? We become the one that revealed God's love in this world. We make it real. We do something with what God said. We're not just sitting in the pew. We're coming to an understanding of what He can do in our hearts and lives. We leave here and the service just begins. Listen, you don't have to be a preacher. But the reacher, the Holy Spirit, wants to work through your life. And He'll give you things and an understanding of what you can do to reach people and love them. And it's sad when we come to those points where we look at all the things that are bad and mad in the world and just kind of analyze it and look at it and give our opinion. You know, God doesn't need our opinion. He needs our obedience. Amen? When we get to the point we can do that, then the Holy Spirit will help us. I look at the news today, and especially what's happening in the Middle East. That's the timetable of the world. Please know that. And more, the clock is moving. Not gloom and doom. Please don't even think that way. But I want you to see the unrest that's happening around the world. What's happening? There's a stirring and a dissatisfaction at every level. And God looks one place to be able to deal with that. Judgment begins at the house of the Lord. Where is that? It's not a church. It's not an organization. It's not a denomination. It's people like you and me. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and forsake their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and I'll hear their land. He brings it right back. Listen, the condition of the world today tells us the condition of the church. And if we don't get that clear, we'll keep just kind of getting by. We'll be able to survive but never arrive at what God wants. And the Holy Spirit so wants to awaken our heart. Probably the best known reporter on the condition of the church in our nation today is Barna. Barna is a research group that has been around for a lot of years, and they research what people believe and then share that. And it's not a negative thing, it's just telling us where things are and what people believe. And here's the way it works right now. Here's how people believe about the church and about Christianity. Non-Christian religions can lead to eternal life. Now, who believes that? 47% of white evangelicals, 49% of black Protestants, 82% of white mainliners, 84% of white Catholics. Now, I'm not saying that as a criticism. I say that out of great compassion and care of the fact that so many people feel like, well, you know, any road will lead you there. If that's true, Jesus is not. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I was on that board that met down at the college, and we had a Muslim man, a Jewish rabbi, a Lutheran pastor, and myself. And the thing I kept bringing up was the fact that Christ is the only way. And I finally brought up the fact that if that's not true, then Jesus is a liar. Now, they held back a little on that, but I wanted to know this, and I want anybody to know this. I never say anything critical about that because I'm against somebody or another religion. I say it because I'm so much for you, I'll stand against you. Because Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way. If there's any other way, then Jesus did not need to die. But here's what, we can just let this slip by so easy. I want to tell you something. If you let this slip by in your heart, in your home, your children will never know Jesus Christ. They will know a God. They will know a church made in their image. But they will not know the Christ of the Bible. And that's the one we're going to stand before. And I say with all the passion I can in my person, come to that point that you understand what's happening in our world. We no longer live in a post-Christian world. We're on a mission field right now. We need to bring the good news of the gospel. We need to help people understand. Don't beat them up with the Bible. Build them up. Bring them to the truth. At least let people take a look and see what's in the book, what God has to say about this. But do that with an understanding in your heart. Again, well, I'm thankful I know Jesus. I could be one that has the counterfeit. And I hope if I had a counterfeit, somebody would come and try to get me the real deal. And I pray we can have that kind of passion in our person, that we have the courage to stand with the conviction of what God's Word has to say. And say, well, now, I don't know. I don't want to offend anybody, and I don't think that's politically correct, Pastor. Get my tongue tangled here. I want to tell you, it's not politically correct, but it is correct according to the Word of God that you and I will be judged by. And I just pray for the day that we can get rid of so much of this where we're just trying to work around and have a God in our image and we have a God we don't think, we don't feel, we don't. That Jesus will really mess you up. Because when you stand before the real Jesus, the saddest day in heaven has not happened yet. It's recorded when people come before the Lord, and it's in the Word, you can look. People that come before Him and say, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works? With all the sadness of a Savior that died on that cross tree of Calvary, He'll look and say, depart from me. I never knew you. Now, they thought they knew Him because of their good works. They talk about what they did. They never talk about what He did. And listen, I want every person to know the love of Christ. Amen. May God motivate our hearts to speak the truth in love. When God can do that, we can see a real thing happen. We can begin to see the enemy destroyed. And we become people that understand you're made in the image of God. I am glad there's more to me than what you see. There's the image of God stamped in my soul. And the enemy wants to destroy that. Have you ever known somebody you were really impressed by and really liked them and really thought they're wonderful, and then something shattering happened and their image was destroyed in your sight? That's the hardest thing to ever get back. And I want to tell you, so much has happened in the body of Christ. So much has happened in the church. There's a shattered image of what the church is called to be. But I want to tell you, God's going to restore that and raise it up, and He's going to use people just like you and I to do it. He's going to put our soul back together in a way that reflects His life and His love. And we're not going to continue to reflect on what's happened in the past and what's happened to us, but what can happen in us and through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God wants us to know that most often we fail to succeed because we really don't plan. We don't understand how to let God give us the right aim in life. And we can end up being among people who have that loaded life that never hits anything. You know what I mean. Have you ever talked to somebody, too, that just, let's meet together. Dave, I'd like to get with you sometime. And Dave says, well, when? Oh, I don't know, whenever. Well, where? Oh, I don't know. Just wherever, you know. Are we ever going to meet? Never going to happen. Never going to happen. But see, sometimes we live life like that. We keep planning and thinking, and those things never come about. See, many people live with no appointment in life. And if you have no appointment, you'll have no anointing. You don't need it. The understanding of what it is to be a general contractor, just build a little bit of a lot. No, you need to be the one that can put life together and see what God can do. Too many people live life in the gray, and God wants the gray to go away in the church. The reason we have this kind of statistic is because of the gray, because we decide what what God should be, and we make him in our image, and we make the church in our image. And Jesus had something to say about that. Jesus says in the book of Matthew, records these words. He said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. I mean, yes or no. Anything other than that is evil. Why? Because it brings about maybe. I'm glad the Bible doesn't say that if I come and confess my sins that maybe he'll forgive me. I'm glad that he forgives all my sins, that I'm cleansed. There's something so powerful about that. And the Holy Spirit wants us to understand, let it be yea or nay. Don't let it be gray. Don't let it be in between. Not maybe, because you'll never make a decision. You'll be as people in the book of Joel, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. But the day of the Lord is at hand in the valley of decision. It's time to decide what God wants to do in our life and allow him to work that in us. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, it speaks to people that are in the gray. He speaks there to the nation and says, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose this day. And he just calls them to record that day. But he says, choose life. He even tells them what to do. And yet many chose to go the other way. How the Holy Spirit wants to help us in this day to be able to live and to see the blessing that he wants to bring to us. That we're not just kind of a lukewarm lover in the sense of being able to live out life in love with the Lord. In Revelation 3:15, the Lord says, you know, if you have lukewarm love, it gags God. He'll spew you out of his mouth. It's because, how many of you can remember, this will be old school, but how many of you have ever been in school and you got hit with a spit wad? Yeah. Isn't that the most disgusting thing? You know, just, you know, and you wonder what was in their mouth and all that, you know. This is kind of what that's like. That's how your words will hit people if you're lukewarm. I want to tell you, the world can tell when you're lukewarm or when you have a passion. I remember standing against people that tried to talk to me about Christ, but I knew they had a hot heart for God, and I listened, even though at that time I didn't respond. They know when you're real, and God wants us to get real, church, in every way. He wants us to be able to see how it is that he lives out life and love. And in the book of James, it says every good and perfect gift comes from God, and there's no variable or shadow of turning. He set his face like a flint. When God says he'll do something, he does it. And we need to be the same as we follow him and allow him to work in our heart and in our life. He will be able to do something so wonderful. God gives us the courage, the ability to stand up and face our fear. You see, it's impossible to have courage unless you face what you fear. You need to write this down. Faith produces fear. Boy, that'll do something for you. But see, faith always requires that you do something you can't do. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's why you're going to be fearful when you have real faith that's functioning in your life. Peter was afraid when he got out of the boat, and it became evident because he ends up sinking for a bit, but he gets back up. Everybody that's ever done anything for God has to face fear. That's why there's 365 references in the Bible. Fear not, be not afraid. That's why he says to Joshua, don't be afraid, have courage. You see, courage is just fear that said its prayers. You understand how to overcome. You know what to do with that fearful thing that's happening in your heart. When God asks us to do something, we begin to move and do it. And if we're afraid to do something, then he can come and he can help us to function in that kind of faith. You know, so many times we're afraid we're going to get out of balance or do something too radical. You know, I can't move without getting out of balance. Every time I take a step, I'm out of balance. I need to keep coming back into balance. But some people are trying to be so balanced and they enjoy having a balanced life, but it's not going anywhere. Could you imagine having a boat? It's a beautiful big boat, and you have it out, and you have it on the lake, and all you try to do is year after year, keep that boat balanced so it won't sink. Keep it balanced in the water. And that's the whole deal of having a boat, is to keep it balanced in the water. I want to tell you, be a balanced believer in the sense that you're going somewhere. You got a destination, and you do want to keep the balance of spirit and truth in your life, but it's on the way to something. It isn't just sitting and doing nothing. It's moving in the power of the Holy Spirit and seeing the purpose and plan that God has for you, that you begin to see how it is that God wants to give you an intentional life that's fueled by vision, and then you're going to have it oiled with compassion so you don't hurt other people while you're going on the way to your vision. That's very important to remember too. And vision will give you a life where you get to do things for God. You don't have to do it. Boy, I'm always disappointed when I kind of hear Christians say, I guess I have to go to church. Or I have to give, or I have to get involved. You miss all the joy And the joy of the Lord is your what? Your strength. If you lose that joy, you'll do it, but you'll be one of God's little grumblers. And oh, that robs of joy for him too.
Live your life,
he wants you to understand how to begin to live.
How many of you'd like to have a car and just let it set in neutral all the time and just run, burn up gas, but not go anywhere?
The windshield wipers work, the lights work, but you just fill it up with gas every Sunday morning and keep it running and keep it idling. If it needs fixed up, fix it up a little bit. I want to tell you, God's saying to the Church of Jesus Christ today, get in gear and go somewhere. Well, what if I'm going the wrong way? He'll begin to direct you. He will perfect that. If you're going the wrong way, he'll say, repent. That means go the other way. And you can do that. By the power of the Spirit of God, he wants us to get a goal that's bigger than the storms that we face in life. Otherwise, you're just captured and struggling in the storm all the time. I want to tell you something. God doesn't cause your storms, but he's the one that can calm them. But he'll calm them many times because you're moving on. You're not just sitting there focused on the storm. Because if you just focus on the circumstances and the storms of life, you're focused on the negative, and you're not focused on the power of the Spirit of the living God that can come and help you. I want to encourage you about that. Man, I really encourage you to rise up as the foundation of your family and see what God will build upon you and how we can leave a legacy that will make a difference in this life. Understand this. As you looked in the mirror this morning, and you saw that person looking back at you, that's the height of God's imagination. God, he made you in his image. That's his imagination. Do you think God has a good imagination? Do you think God has a good imagination? I do. Now, when I look in the mirror first thing in the morning, I wonder about that a little bit. But he has a good imagination. You're the height of his imagination. Can I tell you how much the devil hates that? He hates that image that's in you. He'll do anything to shatter that or to just shadow it in the sense that it'll never begin to reflect the glory of the Lord. God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, wants you to understand how it is that the Lord wants you to identify who you are, to really get that straight. The psychologist did an interesting study recently, and he discovered this. Most people know more about other people than they do about themselves. Isn't that interesting? They know more about other people than they know about themselves. Why is that? Well, I can cure your problems quicker than you can. I can figure out what's wrong with you quicker than I can. You know, we can do that. We can figure that out. It's a whole lot easier if I'm dealing with you. But with me, that's a different story. Some people live their whole life and never know who they are. They'll never know. Every time they even get close, they run, they hide. They look at somebody else so they don't have to see who they are. I want to tell you, that's sad, because you'll never see if you're a son or daughter of the Most High God and that Jesus Christ loved you so much that God said, I'd rather die than live without you, son or daughter. And he did. That's the real deal, folks. He wants you to know who you are. He doesn't want anybody else to tell you who you are. He doesn't want you to be made up of a mass of words that people have said about you. He wants you to understand not about self-esteem, but about the Savior's esteem that he's put in the worth and value he's placed upon you. Some people are so miserable in life because they're indecisive all the time. Matter of fact, many people, and they always talk about stress anymore. Everything, well, what's wrong with you? It's stress. They found out that what is so stressful is that people are working so hard to get out of their problems and get around their problems rather than dealing with their problems. That's what's so stressful. And God will give us strength. It will face up to what's stressing us if we just allow him to come and move in that valley of decision and be able to get to where God wants us to be. That we begin to commit our life to something bigger than our life. You see, there's three kinds of Christians in the world. There's jawbone, there's wishbone, and there's backbone. And you decide what you're going to be. You can talk about it all the time. You can wish. You can take this Bible and say, oh, it's like a wish book, you know. I wish I may. I wish I might. Have the wish. I wish tonight. The Bible doesn't work that way, folks. You study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Let that word become real in your life. Believe what God has to say. And then you begin to see how God will lead you and direct you in everything that he wants to do. Many times we're saying, I wish I had a better marriage. I wish I had a better job. Are you doing anything about it? Are you willing to humble your heart to somebody that knows more than you do so you can learn and grow and develop? That's the wise thing to do. But so many times we're intimidated or impressed by other people and we never understand what we could be, not only what we could be individually.
but what we are as the body of Christ. Please understand this. We're only strengthened individually as we unite corporately. That's according to the Word of God. It's just like your body. If it isn't put together, it doesn't function right. We have to begin to be able to see things in that light and how God created us with an assignment in life that we must carry out. You know, I can remember when our kids were little, we had a rocking horse for Dawn and we kept it for Jim. And they'd get on that rocking horse, and we'd always put them on that rocking horse because they'd wear themselves out on it. They'd just rock on that thing and bounce on that thing. Half hour later, you come right back. Now, they're in the same spot where they've been, but they're wore out. I mean, they rode that horse right into the ground. But you know, there's a lot of Christians. They're on a rocking horse. They're not going anywhere. They're in the same place that were a year ago, 2 years ago. And God wants to say, now I know you're going to say, Pastor, get off your rocking horse, but I want to tell you, God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, wants you to move. He wants you to get on a stallion. He wants you to understand what it is that you can move in the power of the Holy Spirit to become what He's called you to be. Don't settle for anything less than that. Begin to see what God can do. But here's the thing I want to ask, please, this is so important. If you don't get anything else out of the service this morning, please get this. So many times when God deals with us, we try to do something good. And that's all right. But see, many times we don't do what's right. We're just doing something good. Some of you could be sitting here in church today and you had a conversation on the way with your husband, wife, some of the family, and it was a intense fellowship. But when you come into church, you put all that away. And you, hallelujah, praise God, we love you, Jesus. And everything's beautiful until you get back in the car again. I'd like to get in the back seat with you today and we'll ride home together. And you don't really deal with it. You just keep that thing going, trying to prove your point rather than care about the person. Or it can be your job. Some of you will go to a job tomorrow and you're so ticked off at the boss, you'll lose all your joy all day. Because you're still trying to prove a point at work. You're still trying to prove something about that guy, and you don't like that guy. You don't like those people you work with. You don't like this. You don't like that. You're being robbed of what life is about. You're being robbed of that day of fellowship. You're being robbed of being able to reflect something that can make a difference in that place. And God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, wants to awaken our hearts to the reality of understanding we don't always need to do what's good. We need to do what's right. And sometimes the right thing to do is go home and go to that loved one and say, help me understand. Forgive me. Humble yourself. Go to work, and maybe you can't change anybody around you by what you do, but you can change. And your attitude may affect change, and it may create an atmosphere in which the Holy Spirit of God can work. This is a real deal. Those are the kind of lights the devil wants to punch out. He doesn't care if you do good, if you miss what's right. And see, when you really listen to the Lord, you'll hear what's right. And sometimes it'll break your heart. Because that's when you'll find out who you really are. It's when you make those decisions nobody knows. It has to do with your character. Nobody knows whether you're making right or wrong decisions, but you do. And the God's wanting to call us out and allow us to become creative, not critical. The only reason people are critical is because they got time to be critical. I want to be so creative, I don't have time to be critical. And just keep moving on. Just keep moving on. Just keep moving on for what God wants to do. And let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, and let the gray go away. And just get out there and do what God's calling you to do. And I want you to be a person that when you die, you're remembered for something. You've left a legacy that people remember. That you understand the goodness and grace of God that'll be there. That you do as the Apostle Paul with Timothy. He said, stir up the gift that's in you. Don't let it lay idle there. You have to stir it up or you'll never see it. You'll never understand what God wants to do in and through you. God's calling you to live in the courageous zone. And you'll begin to see the significant thing that He could do. Now, I'm going to close quickly with this. When you begin to do this and you really step out, and I'm just not going to be comfortable anymore, but you have to stir yourself. I always wish the Spirit would just come, and He does give me a divine dissatisfaction, but to really go and do what I need to, I have to get beyond my opinion. My flesh has an opinion, and it's the easiest one. The Goliath that you will face to get into the courageous zone is not a big 9-foot guy on a hill with a spear.
It's a bigger one than that. It's the Goliath of self that will not let you see what God can do. John Maxwell said it well. He said, if we could kick the person that causes most of us trouble in our life for a week. Is that true? That's why the Apostle Paul said, present yourself as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service, reasonable worship. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you don't do verse 2 first, you won't do verse 1. If you're not transformed in your mind, if you don't think different, if you don't come to allow God to speak to you and then present yourself, you'll never have the courage to present yourself. You'll present your problems. You'll present what self wants, but you won't know how to present yourself. Because, see, that's when Jesus said, oh, you give your life away. That's when you find it. That's when this deal gets real. And again, you're the proof of the truth that Jesus Christ is real in this world today. And he so wants to awaken our hearts to that. I want to encourage you. Men, you get these and wear these, but for all of us, I want you to understand God's calling today to his church to awaken our hearts to the reality of what he wants to do, and it's going to take courage to do it, and we can't be looking at what everybody else does. We need to obey what he has to say to us. Amen? Father, make that real in our heart. Holy Spirit, I don't know how much better to say it, but I pray it, Lord God, that you will come and speak by your Spirit, and Lord God, that you'd help men and women here that you love so deeply to have an ear to hear something beyond anything I can say. And God, I pray that there would be light beyond the sight of what they see and who you've made them to be, Lord. I'm asking in the name of the Lord for the power of the Holy Spirit to come and speak, encourage, and respond to you, not just in this moment, but Lord, as we leave here today. Lord, when we go home, if there's some things we need to do, and Lord, we're just trying to do something good, but we need to make something right, I pray for the courage to do that today. Lord, may we always understand to do right in a hurry. Don't wait. There's something we need to straighten out at work tomorrow. Let it be the first day. This is a day the Lord has made for me to make a difference. And it starts in my own heart. I ask you, Holy Spirit, if there's any heart here today that needs to know you as Lord and Savior. Lord God, if we've just been getting by, or somehow we've just looked at the church of being someplace you come and sing songs and hear a sermon, God forgive us, because Lord, we've been captured by sight rather than by revelation. And I ask today, touch the eyes of the understanding. Give us the courage to respond to you. I ask in the name of Christ our Lord. If you're here today and you've never received Christ as your Savior, this is the time to do so. If you've walked with the Lord, but you've gotten away and you know it and you're cold in your soul, and you have that lukewarm love, today's the day to deal with that. Don't wait, don't hesitate, or your flesh will analyze and paralyze your faith. You're here and you need to come to Christ. I'm not asking you to join the church or get religion, but get a relationship with God that's real. If that's the case, right where you're seated, would you slip your hand up, signifying that you're lifting your heart before the Lord? I won't embarrass you or put you on the spot. It's just a point of identity. And you're saying, Lord, here am I. I yield my life. I surrender right now. And you know in your heart, if he's speaking to you, I'm just speaking to your head. He's speaking to your heart. If that's a need, you slip your hand up. I'll just take a moment to agree and pray with you. I agree with you, my brother. The Holy Spirit lift you and love you. And there comes a release of peace that passes understanding upon your heart. You are a man of God. And that calling will conquer those things that have been standing against you so long. In the name of the Lord, let that be real in his heart, I pray. For my brother back here, Lord God, in the name of the Lord God, with his hand, the palm of his hand, reached out to you. In the name of the Lord God, I pray that he'll never be the same, in Jesus' name. Because you hear his heart. There's a heaviness on him that will not be when he walks away this day. I believe for that grace that embraces him right now, in Jesus' name. Are there other hearts? Stand with me, please. One point I didn't get to, probably several points I didn't get to, but will you write this down somewhere? Procrastination can become your occupation. Be sure that doesn't happen. Amen. Whatever you're going to do, do it quickly. When God speaks, move. Don't wait. And there's things God is speaking and will speak. And some of those things He'll speak to you just as you're going on your way today or tomorrow. And I ask you in the name of the Lord, don't you procrastinate. Please obey what God has to say. Procrastination is my greatest sorrow. I'm going to stop doing it. Maybe I'll start tomorrow. Don't do that. Amen. God by the Spirit wants you to move today. Today is the day to hear and obey our Lord. I really love the church family. Men, would you remember to please sign up so we can be able to get all lined up for our men's meeting? Be sure and come up and get a bracelet here at the altar, too. If you don't have one, that's for every man and every teenage young man, too. Be sure and get one of these and take it. Even if you can't make it to the meetings, you have one of these. I want to encourage you about baptism. If you want to be baptized, let us know so we can get that on the plan for next Sunday. And God bless you. I hope you'll be in church next Sunday. Bring somebody with you. Let's rejoice together and let's have the courage to obey everything God has to say. Would you hug about 70 people? And we'll go on our way. Look forward to seeing you later.